Hi, this is Smriti Kirvanandan, your host for Health Forward Podcast. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is to take care of your health. Your road to discovering an all-inclusive, empathetic, and innovative healthcare ecosystem starts right now. A quote by David Benioff. I've always envied people who sleep easily. Their brains must be cleaner, the floorboards of the skull well-swept, all the little monsters closed up in a steamer trunk at the foot of the bed. In the relentless pace of modern life, prioritizing sleep is paramount for overall well-being. Adequate and quality sleep is not only crucial for physical and mental health, but also plays a pivotal role in enhancing cognitive function and emotional resilience. In this episode, I'm in conversation with the head of science at Oura Ring, Shamil Patel. Welcome to Health Forward. Such a pleasure to have you here.
Likewise, we're really excited. Thank you for having me on.
Can you start by introducing yourself and explaining your role as the head of science at Oura Ring and what motivated you to join the company?
Yeah, so my name is Shamil Patel and I'm the head of science at Oura. We make a wearable ring, which is weighs about 4 grams, and it's called the Oura Ring. I'm an engineer by training, and my passion is in building science-based health solutions. And that's essentially what I do in my role as head of science at Oura. So my team is responsible for building the algorithms that take the signals that come out of the Oura Ring to derive these health metrics like heart rate variability, also estimating things like sleep stages, predicting periods, ovulations, detecting when you're getting sick. So all of the information, the metrics that you see in the Oura, the algorithms behind those metrics are built by my team. And then we take it to the next step, which is to take that information and translate that information in terms of what that means for you as an individual and connecting the information to insights. So that's sort of the role that I and my team at Oura play. My journey into this space started about 18 years ago when I kicked off my PhD. So I've seen the space of wearable technology evolve quite a bit over this space. You know, when I started my PhD, there were like 5 or 10 labs across the world that were dabbling in this domain, and you know, today we have a pretty well established domain of wearable technology. And most of my work before joining Oura was in this sort of clinical medical device space. So I was very interested in working on tough sort of problems where we building new digital biomarkers for patients with Parkinson's or stroke or cerebral palsy. And it was really rewarding, and the problems are super interesting and tough. But at some point, I realized that there is a bigger opportunity to tackle health and improve health and change the model of healthcare that we have, which is sort of this very reactive. When you have a disease and you develop a health condition, then you start looking for solutions. So changing that model into a much more sort of proactive, preventative, personalized model. And that's the, that was my, motivation for joining Oura, because at Oura, we have the opportunity to build these solutions around an incredible product that is geared towards changing this approach to healthcare from, to more sort of proactive, preventative, with the goal of helping you live your best life.
Thank you, Shamil. One, I'm a personal fan of the Oura Ring. I find it to be exciting that it's an elegantly designed instrument that can track live data and also give actionable insights to a consumer to really take in charge of their health. And I've, kind of played around with it, I think around 2017, around 2019, and I'm still a great fan of how it tracks sleep and reminds me of how poor quality of sleep I have as the moment goes. But we all know that sleep is essential, Shamil. But could you elaborate on why it's crucial for our health and well-being? And what are some of the key benefits of getting quality sleep?
Yeah, so sleep, everybody does it, right? Everybody sleeps every day. It is a basic biological need, right? It is not something that we do it because, it's a nice thing to do, or it's something that, everybody does it, but it's actually a basic biological need. Without sleep, you actually cannot survive for too long, right? And it's interesting how when Oura started about 10 years ago, sleep was, tracking sleep and understanding sleep was not something that was top of mind for a lot of people. So I think Oura was sort of a pioneer in, focusing on sleep and thinking about sleep as an essential function that we need to understand and improve. We spend one third of our life sleeping, right? So it's got to be quite important. And you know, we've learned a lot. The science around sleep is still developing, but we know that sleep has an impact on every single aspect of our health, from your cognitive function to your cardiovascular health to how your immune system functions to even things like your reproductive health, right? So the range of aspects of our health that sleep touches are just, I would argue that every single aspect of our health. So for example, sleep deprivation has been shown to create an imbalance of hormones that control our appetite. So what happens is we have this imbalance between leptin, which is kind of, it tells our body that we are, you know, satisfied and we are not hungry anymore, versus ghrelin, which is, you know, kind of the hunger hormone, right? And it's kind of telling us to crave for more calorie-rich, unhealthy foods. And when we don't get enough sleep, the ghrelin is more active compared to leptin, and we start, you know, we crave for these types of unhealthy foods. And so that has an impact on you know, our metabolic system. And simultaneously, lack of sleep also has an impact on our body's ability to metabolize glucose. So it sort of creates this double whammy, and as a result, increases risk for obesity, diabetes. So lots of, you know, when you don't get enough sleep, there are lots of very direct negative impacts, like short-term impacts from things like, you know, impaired memory consolidation or recall, like you're not able to remember things clearly. Also has an impact on creativity. We feel less, you know, motivated. We don't have, you know, the ideas don't flow as freely. Communication is impaired. So there are lots of like short-term impacts. And then there is longer-term impacts as well, where, you know, one of the key functions of sleep is brain cleanup. So when you're sleeping, you know, throughout the day, you know, you have 100 billion neurons in your brain that are firing all day long. And as a byproduct of that activity and the energy consumption that is going in your brain, you produce waste products, these sort of sticky proteins, right, that accumulate. And when you don't get enough sleep, your brain is not able to flush those toxins out. And that has been shown to be associated with higher risks for developing dementia, Alzheimer's disease. So it's really incredible how sort of, you know, this short and long term impact collectively has a big impact on our lives.
Absolutely. In short, Shamil, sounds like a well-rested human is just a better human being. So I think we all need good sleep to be less grumpy, more active, and most importantly, to be optimal for ourselves and for our loved ones. Let me expand on that a little bit. You know, a lot of us believe that if you haven't slept well a couple of nights, then we can make up for it by napping. Is this a myth or is this a true story?
So I'm a fan of naps. I've become a big fan of naps. I grew up in India, and naps were sort of a part of our culture in a way. I saw my parents nap, and we would kind of, you know, encourage naps. But I did not understand how important and valuable naps are. So naps are great. Naps are valuable. But I think there is also, you know, we have a cultural sort of thing about like weekends. And we see this in our data, right? When we look at our data across different countries, we see these patterns. And there are some cultural aspects. So there are some countries where you see a very strong weekday, weekend pattern, where you see people, you know, getting very little sleep, you know, sometimes like less than 5-6 hours a day consistently for several, you know, during the weekdays, and then trying to catch up on it, right? Mm-hmm. And on one hand, your body needs that catch up, and you need to give your body that rest. So I think it's important to get that, but it's also not a very healthy way to live. And there is something that is called like sleep debt that builds up, right? And, you know, there's a lot of science that is building around that. You can't simply build up the sleep debt and then just, you know, nap or, you know, sleep like 10, 12 hours in the weekend and catch up. The most powerful thing to do for being, you know, getting good sleep and having a well-rested, recharged body is to have a consistent sleep schedule. I think something that I've learned personally is that the most important thing you can do about your sleep is to be consistent. And that means, you know, and the consistency might be different. Like there are people who need, you know, 7 hours, 8 hours. There are some people who need less sleep, right? But you need to have a very consistent schedule. And that is, you know, catching up is a little bit of a myth. I think it's essential, but it's also not the best way to manage your sleep.
Thank you for that myth busting, Shamal. So how does the Aura Ring specifically contribute to improving sleep quality? And what's the technology behind that?
Yeah, so when I think about Aura, right, we have three key aspects that make us incredibly unique for sleep specifically. And that's, you know, the reason why these three aspects exist is because they're by design. This is where we started. We focused on sleep, and everything about Aura has been sort of designed from the ground up with sleep in mind first. And, you know, that doesn't mean that Aura is only valuable for sleep. We do a lot more than sleep, but it is a device that really has been optimized. So starting with the form factor, right? It's a ring. It weighs 4 grams. It doesn't have a screen, which is a feature. I actually think about it as a plus that it doesn't have a ring. Doesn't have any mechanism to ping you or, you know, nudge you or bother you, right? It's there when you need it, but it, you know, it blends in the background. It really, really seamlessly integrates into your life. A long battery life means that you just, you know, wear the ring and you can just keep wearing it for days before you need to recharge. So this form factor really enables this sort of continuous long-term wear. And what that translates into is this sort of longitudinal, accurate health data that then you can use to sort of understand how things are changing and really track your health. So those are just sort of some of the foundational elements. Another element is engagement. And the way we think about engagement is also fairly unique to Aura. So we're not, our product is not designed to constantly seek your attention. It's designed to be there when you need it. And it also, we also have a compassionate voice that we have built into our product. So it's something where we are there as your companion, your sort of personal health companion that is on this journey with you, non-judgmental, you know, in a way that sort of builds a very healthy level of engagement.
And I love that it's a silent companion and it's really focused around the customer experience, but also the fact that you're thinking about the product design and the platform integration and how you're really convening the data and the analytics and insights and not bombard a customer with just too much data, right? Because now we live in a world where there's too much of data we have to consume and figure out right. ourselves. So that way I find Aura to be very A to Z, very precise and very actionable.
Yeah. So that's, I think then, you know, you were hitting on the point that I was kind of, you know, talk about next, which is that we capture a lot of very rich, you know, detailed information about your health, you know, every minute, you know, of your day and night, right? We are capturing very high resolution data, but we also don't overwhelm you. We try to sort of make the, you know, surface that information up in a way which is intuitive. And we sort of boil that down into these three main scores that, you know, help you get a good handle on how things are, right? And so those are readiness score, sleep score, and activity score. And then you have the ability to dive deeper in. And I always encourage people to, you know, start with those scores to get a quick read on things, but then go deeper. Try to understand what's going on with your heart rate variability, you know, your sleep stages, you know, your activity and how you're, you know, how active you are, when you're active. We added a new feature that will help you track your stress levels during the day, understand the context around your stress. What are the triggers that are driving your stress high? What are the things that are restorative for you? And then start optimizing your life. So that's sort of, you know, the ethos that is built around the product in a way where we want to capture a really holistic view of your health and be there, you know, as your companion on this journey, to help you understand your health and then, you know, take action to, you know, improve the aspects that need improvement.
Sleep tracking and health technology are rapidly evolving fields, but what advancements or trends do you foresee in the future of any healthcare trend or any technology? And how do you plan to see Aura staying, you know, in the front of the competition?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, sleep and health technology generally, I think about where we are today as fairly early days. You know, Aura is 10 years old, but I think we're still at the beginning of this journey. The long-term sort of impact of these technologies and you know, having this sort of data in the hands of people, right, and users is going to actually fully, you know, fundamentally transform health and healthcare. I think in terms of the sleep tracking technology, right, I think one of the things I'm really excited about is actually having a more of a closed loop system, right? So we do a lot of detailed tracking of your sleep, helping you understand what are the factors that are affecting your sleep and how, you know, how you might be able to improve it. I think it would be incredibly powerful to have closed loop systems that are not just providing you information, but actually helping you act on things. And closed loop doesn't mean that there is like a, you know, some kind of a device that is then triggered or something like that. It could simply be that you are bringing, you are putting the tools in the hands of our members that are available in time. And, you know, one example of the tools would be the content that we have in our Explore tab, right? Meditation, breath work. And these are very powerful ways to essentially provide interventions, right? Whether it's stress you are dealing with or you want to improve your sleep, you know, you can actually start empowering people with these tools. In terms of research and you know, things that we are working on, there are areas that I'm really excited about, like, you know, detecting illnesses. Sleep is a beautiful window into your health, right? And as I mentioned earlier, everybody sleeps. Everybody sleeps usually, right? Typically, people try to control where they sleep, when they sleep. So if you think, I can't think of any better time to measure your health than sleep, because you have a very consistent, you know, window night after night where you can understand, you know, what's going on with your health, right? So I think about sleep tracking as more than just about sleep. Actually, sleep tracking gives you a window into much broader set of aspects of your health. So illness is one really exciting thing. We've done a lot of work around illness starting during the COVID pandemic, very early days of the COVID pandemic. We teamed up with University of California, San Francisco on this massive study where we enrolled more than 65,000 Aura members and who basically participated and contributed their data. And the findings from this study are just incredible, right? We are able to see that 1 to 2 days ahead of developing symptoms, we are able to see changes in your physiology that are indicating that something might be off. So even before you start feeling symptoms, there is something in your physiology that is changing. So your temperature, your heart rate variability, your respiration, you see it, you know, an uptick or change in those metrics with respect to your baseline, with respect to your long-term baseline. And that is quite profound and incredible, right? The ability to give you an early warning, sort of like a check engine light. So that's an area that I'm kind of really excited about. The other one is women's health. And we have invested quite heavily in women's health, building new capabilities. We have recently shipped a feature called Cycle Insights that basically gives you a retrospective view into the menstrual cycle. And it you know, there are lots of things that we are trying to accomplish with this. One of them is education. And again, this is something that I've learned a lot about, you know, my understanding of menstrual cycles and the physiology around that before joining Aura was, I would say, close to zero. And there are some really incredible women who are driving this field at Aura, and I've learned a ton from them. And the more I learn, the more I find there is an incredible opportunity to make an impact, both because this is a field that has been traditionally underserved from a technology perspective, from a research perspective. Women have been excluded from medical research for a long period of time. So a lot of the science around medicine that we have is based on the male physiology. And we know that women's physiology is very different. It's much more dynamic. And so with the features like Cycle Insights, we are starting to sort of give a window into sort of the dynamic nature of women's bodies, right? From an educational perspective, from a health science perspective. And so we are investing heavily in terms of building new capabilities that can help us support the entire journey of a woman's life, right? And through these different phases, you know, whether it's from puberty to pregnancy to menopause and everything in between, right? There's a lot of, you know, things going on. And we think that the type of data we capture and the patterns that we are seeing, again, a lot of this is captured during sleep, gives you a really incredible window into how this, you know, health is evolving.
You know, I really like the two or three reflections. One, the importance of investing in research can really drive product innovation and also allow different market penetrations. And the second one is definitely focusing on the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion from the point of research to the product development to even doing the B2B or the B2C of product penetration in different markets. And I can clearly see Aura trying to strategically, you know, place that position themselves in the market. And I think that's quite fantastic. And that brings me to my next question, and which I love, is that you've recently become a part of the FSA and the HSA plan. And a great, and I find it to be a great way to integrate proactive wellness into the healthcare ecosystem, so you're not siloed out. What are your goals of the strategic move, and what else would you like to share about this integration with members?
Yeah, I mean, we are absolutely thrilled about this. One of the things that we want to do is to make sure that this technology, this incredible technology, is more accessible and available, right? And we have been working very hard on making sure that we push the envelope on that. And this is one of the steps there. You know, a lot of Aura members are using data from the Aura Ring to understand their health, to manage their health, to bring some of the insights that they're learning into their conversations with their healthcare providers. And healthcare providers are also increasingly recognizing the impact that this technology can have on their ability to care for their patients. We are seeing, you know, models like these clinics that are focused more on prevention. There are these clinics that are already, you know, doctors that are starting to integrate this data into their practice and to understand how they can proactively manage health, keep people healthy, right? And so that is already happening. And I think that over time, we will see that this change will be rolled out at scale and across, you know, sort of the whole healthcare system. So for us, I think the way I look at it is that this is sort of a step, right? A small but very meaningful step in that direction. And I think we hope that we will, you know, continue to build on that and make our technology more accessible, more a part of sort of the healthcare journey, right? Whether it's on your own or you know, working with a healthcare professional.
Absolutely. So for people who are listening, you can now dedicate your HSA or FSA plan money and buy an Aura ring. And if you go to your portal, most of these companies which you signed up for do have Aura as a product which you can purchase from. So Shamil, my next question, obviously the two sides of the coin. One is we are obviously experiencing a massive physician burnout. And the other side, we have now access to much more incredible data, which is very powerful. So from Aura perspective, now members can share their report with providers. So two questions is, for physicians listening in, how can they use this data? And for members who don't come from much of a privileged background and are now experiencing, saying, you know, concern about their social determinants of health, how do you sync both of these points to really make this more accessible and also efficient?
Yeah, so we've recently shipped a feature which allows you to essentially export a report, right? You can have a PDF of a report that highlights some of the metrics around your sleep quality and quantity and also your activity levels. And you can do that for the past week or for the past month or past 3 months. And the motivation behind that, this feature was to, you know, often we're like, I've done this. I don't know if you've done this or listeners. I'm sure people have done this. If you have a wearable, you know, at some point you would have felt the need to sort of share that information. And I've done that by essentially showing my Aura app and the kind of scrolling through that data with my healthcare provider. And it's not a very effective way, right? I think healthcare, you know, you mentioned burnout, right? Healthcare professionals are incredibly busy. They're overloaded with a lot of, you know, administrative responsibilities. In addition to taking care of patients, there is the ratio between physicians to patients is also not trending in the right direction. So it is, you know, adding another data stream, adding that sort of cognitive load of having to now process, you know, new information is. You know, is something that actually potentially makes this interaction worse, right? And might lead physicians to sort of rejecting this type of data. So what we've tried to do with this report is to kind of make this simple, right? And give you a way to bring some of your data in a clear, concise way to these conversations. And this is just a start again, right? This is our first step here. So we fully aim to like learn from this and build on the feedback that we'll get from our members and also healthcare professionals who might be looking at this. And the motivation is, let's make this interaction much more effective and efficient so that you can, you know, make the best decisions for yourself and you know, more sort of data-backed decisions that can help you understand and improve your health.
I think it's fantastic that you're really targeting on the payers, the providers, and obviously the B2C. I think it's a great way to really reach out to the members, the physicians, and even the research communities on how they can really improve patient outcomes. With the rising mental health crisis and your new partnership with Headspace, what are some key data points you'd be looking at? And do you see this data eventually being shared with therapists or even, you know, loved ones?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if you saw this, but the National Sleep Foundation does the Sleep in America poll every year. And the results were shared earlier this year, I think in March or April for 2023. And one of the really key message from the results was there's a strong link between sleep and mental health. Think about half of the people in the survey who reported sleeping less than 7 hours per night, they also reported mild or higher levels of depressive symptoms. That's a pretty big number. And, you know, just looking at how many, like, I think more than 35% of adults get less than 7 hours of sleep per night. Right? Okay. So that's not a small number. That's a very, very big number. So we potentially have a little bit of an epidemic of, you know, lack of sleep, and as a result, sort of that impact on your mental health. So from our perspective, there are three, I would say, like, there are three things. One, it starts with really capturing a holistic, personalized view of your health, right? We really, you know, with features like stress, sleep, you know, reproductive health, women's health features, we really want to capture a very holistic, complete view of your health. We're also building integrations with other apps that can help you sort of pull other data points that can help you build this holistic view. The second one is providing tools for mental health. It's just knowing that you might be stressed or, you know, you might not be getting enough sleep is really, you know, just the first step, right? It's really not helping you solve the problem. It's just making you aware. So what we want to do is to push the envelope towards building these tools and providing these tools when you need them, right? And so it could be tools for promoting mindfulness and relaxation techniques, right? Our partnership with Headspace is a step in that direction. We want to also have educational content in the app that can help you sort of understand the importance of emotional well-being and help you manage your stress. The third one is sort of promoting this collaborative approach, right? You know, sleep challenges or other aspects of your health can sometimes be a symptom of, like, deeper mental or emotional health issues. So creating and kind of fostering more productive partnerships with mental health professionals can be really powerful here. So the share report feature is one of the examples of how we are trying to, you know, enable this sort of collaborative approach around managing our mental health.
No, I love this. I think it's been a silent pandemic in the US, whether it's caused due to loneliness, depression, anxiety. And I learned at least 60% of us Americans are experiencing depression, anxiety. So I'm really hoping such data can help them use it as a vehicle to really speak with the loved ones or professional help. I think that's fantastic, Shamil. Can you share any exciting upcoming features or developments in Oura Ring's technology that listeners can look forward to?
Yeah, so we will soon be launching our resilience feature, which is a follow-up to our daytime stress tracking feature that we launched in October. I'm really excited about that because it's a unique perspective on thinking about stress. We are fundamentally thinking about stress not just as a negative force, although, you know, there is definitely negative stress, right? But stress is also something that is an essential part of our life. It's a part that is important and also, you know, unavoidable to some extent. So we are thinking about stress as something, how can you harness stress as a positive force? And we think resilience would be a way to think about it. How do you want, you know, focus on managing your stress, but then also harnessing the stress to improve your resilience and understanding how resilient you are. And resilience will show up in all sorts of aspects. It's not just about stress, but it's about sort of how you can function during the day. It can also be an indicator of how you might be able to respond to infections, or, you know, if you're not very resilient, if your body is kind of under this sort of constant stress, you might not be able to respond very effectively because your immune system might be suppressed, right? So those, I think I'm you know, keen to see us build on stress and provide deeper insights and tools to help you sort of manage and improve your resilience. The other area that, as I mentioned, you know, women's health is an area that I'm incredibly excited about. you know, with the features that we launched recently, we have some really exciting partnerships with Natural Cycles. And I think what I'm excited about is both what we are able to, the health needs that we can serve directly for our members, but also through this incredible ecosystem that is building around women's health. And this is an area where I think the more we learn, the more we discover the potential of the technologies that we have, right? And I actually have come to believe that like men's bodies are fairly static. They're not as dynamic. There's obviously changes that happen with aging, changes that happen with, you know, if you have, you're developing some health conditions. You know, women's bodies are changing on a much more frequent basis. And there are really interesting insights that can be gleaned from these patterns. So I'm excited about the potential for what we can learn, the new science that can develop around women's health, and then how can we bring that new science to build meaningful solutions to help improve health outcomes in women. There were two recent studies that I just wanted to highlight. One was published in Nature Digital Medicine, and the focus was on pregnancy. And what they found that is that data from the Oura Ring can help predict labor onset. And, you know, the clinical characteristics of the person or the symptoms of labor are, you know, compared to those aspects, the predictive value of the Oura Ring data was much higher. So it's interesting to kind of think about, you know, our current understanding or the current tools that we have to support, you know, pregnant women and that are being used to manage pregnancies might not be as effective, right? We might actually have some better tools that we can build and maybe augment the information that we are currently using. The other one is around sort of the biology of sex differences. And as I was mentioning earlier, women have been traditionally excluded from medical research because of, you know, the concerns like the changes that happen because of menstrual cycles, they're unpredictable and they're not, you know, therefore they add some confounding factors into your research. And what we found is that, yes, there are changes that happen associated with menstrual cycles, but those changes are also fairly cyclical, fairly predictable. So if you are designing research, you can actually take into account these aspects and model them in so that you don't need to exclude. There is actually a very, you know, unique value for including this information in the medical research so that you can factor this in for whatever research, you know, whatever outcome that this research is driving. So if it's treatments, therapies, you know, you might want to, you know, the treatment decisions might be different depending on where a person is in their menstrual cycle. And that information could be actually quite powerful. So yeah, these are the things I'm kind of really excited about.
Now, these are all amazing. And I have to agree that, you know, when I was younger, you know, every decade things would be different. And now I've come to a point, I share this with my friends as well. We mutually agree that every day is different. Every hour has become different as we start aging. So, you know, I think women's health is very dynamic, but I think this also serves as an opportunity for men to understand how dynamic it is and how sometimes it is actually biologically difficult to be a woman, especially when you're working and our, you know, lifestyles and ecosystems have drastically changed even over the last 50 years. So I think data is powerful, but also I think it can serve individually for us to be really conscious of our changes and give it a reason why. And I think that's why I find, you know, elements like Oura to be very, very powerful. Shamil, this brings us to our last question. Three takeaways for the future of health, what would they be?
I think the way I would characterize the current sort of state of health and healthcare is in maybe three ways. One would be that it's an episodic system, right? You kind of have this window into somebody's life that is, you know, chopped. It could be every 6 months, it could be every year, it could be, you know, when you get sick, you get a window into somebody's health. The second one is that it's healthcare and health is largely understood with the lens of population norms, right? What does this look like at a population level? You would have a bell curve and then you would like, where are you on this bell curve, right? Are you in the normal range or are you, you know, an outlier or on one end or the other, right? Sort of this sort of very population-based approach. And this is valuable, but it leaves a lot of gaps in terms of how you understand and interpret somebody's health. And the third one, as I was mentioning, is that it's a very reactive model. You're sort of, you know, reacting to things that are happening. It's almost like we're waiting for something to happen and then we take action. I think that, you know, the future, and I don't think this is necessarily like a far off future. And some of this is already happening. And I think I'd like to think that at Aura we are a key catalyst of making this happen, is that one is that health and healthcare will become more of a daily practice. It's not going to be something that you react to. It's something that is, more of a proactive, preventative approach that you're trying to essentially live to your best potential, right? And that includes your health. The second one is that health will become more data-driven. And I think that's, we've seen that over the last 10, 20 years that we are increasing, we are capturing data about every aspect of our life. And with technologies like the Oura Ring, you get a very, very deep view into your health on a daily, hourly, minute by minute basis. And so there is incredible power. Obviously, you could think about data as something that just kind of floods and overwhelms you. But with the right tools and technologies, you can actually get really deep, meaningful insights from this data. And the third one is health becoming more personalized. And this goes to how you understand and interpret somebody's health. And, population norms and understanding what health looks like at a population level is important, and it's not going to go away. I think we would need to do that. But when you think about understanding an individual's health, we need to contextualize that health information in the context of what health looks like for that person. And what it means is that we need to essentially, we have this sort of very evidence-based medicine approach, where evidence-based means essentially population scale evidence. What the technologies like Oura Ring will do is that you would be able to generate evidence, do or practice evidence-based medicine that is at a personal level, at a personalized level. And that would fundamentally, I think, change how we think about our health, how we manage our health. And also, I think that will help drive better health outcomes in the short term and also in the longer term.
Kamal, thank you so much for your insights and being a part of Health Forward. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
Likewise, great being on the podcast.
Thank you for listening. This is Health Forward Podcast, and I'm your host, Smriti Kirbanandan.